Well, good morning and welcome again to St. Paul's. My name is Tyler. So glad that you are here with us or joining us online. We're just delighted to see you this Palm Sunday. Before I begin, I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, will you look upon your gathered people with favor and pour out your Spirit into this place and fill it and fill us so that we might know your Son, Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. So picture the scene. There's a group of people on the main road into town, and they are going absolutely bananas. They're singing, they're dancing, they're moving slowly down the road like the Raptors' victory parade, taking 5 hours to get to Nathan Phillips Square. They're paving the muddy turf with whatever they can lay their hands on, hacking palm branches off the roadside trees, tearing the shirt off their back, putting it down, rolling out the red carpet for the king, who they're convinced is coming to take Jerusalem back, take the capital city back from the Roman occupying force and its puppet kings. And the crowd shouting, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." And in the middle of all this celebration, there's a man riding a young donkey. And the man is Jesus. He's the king. He's surrounded by people who love him, a mob of people singing his praises. He's in the middle of all that love, literally the star of a victory parade in his honor. And he's the loneliest man in the world because he's the only one who knows why he's really there. He's the only one there who knows why he has come and what's coming. He's the only one who knows that he'll be dead by the week's end. We've got new people at St. Paul's every week. So if you're joining us for the first time, let me roll back the tape to how we got to this point, get us all on the same page. Today's Palm Sunday, because of the palm branches that people waved to celebrate Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. They were celebrating because they were convinced the world was about to change. It says so a few verses back from where our reading started today in Luke 19, verse 11. Jesus was near Jerusalem, and his followers supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. That's why they were going crazy on that road into Jerusalem. They thought the kingdom of God was about to appear. And what his followers thought that meant was, Jesus is God's own king, and we know it because of the miracles that we've seen him do. And now he's going to take that Holy Spirit mojo to Jerusalem and kick some Roman imperial tukas. He's going to kick out the baddies and take the throne, and everything's going to be okay. And it didn't matter that Jesus kept telling them to ease up. Jesus is like, "Guys, I'm serious. I'm literally going to die." And they're like, "Wow, the teacher says the craziest stuff. I wonder what 'I'm going to die' means. Must be so spiritual." It's not what they wanted to hear, so they couldn't hear it. You ever miss anything that you should have heard because you didn't want to hear it? They wouldn't listen. They heard what they wanted to hear. And I can't say I would have done any better, right? No judgment on the disciples. They heard what they wanted to hear. The kingdom of God is what I think it is, and Jesus is who I think he is. And so when Jesus stopped zigzagging through Israel and, as his biographer Luke says, set his face to go to Jerusalem, the apostles' group chat just blew up. His followers were like, "Yes, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for." They were so excited. So now they're getting close to Jerusalem, and of course his followers are hyped, because as far as they're concerned, God's chosen king is coming to take God's chosen city back, and they're the entourage. And if you aren't pumped about that, if you can't put a smile on your face for that, you're a little dead inside, right? So here we are, and it's the first Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is the weirdest day. Because on the one hand, the screaming crowd saying Jesus is king, they're so right. And on the other hand, they're just so wrong about the kind of king he's going to be. And you have to understand that, how they're right and wrong at the same time, if you want to get what's happening on that Sunday when Jesus rolls into Jerusalem. Because how he comes to Jerusalem is pure political theater. Everything he does, everything we heard about in our reading today, is all meant to say Jesus is the king. Like the donkey rides, the donkey Jesus rides, for example. It's straight out of the book of the prophet Zechariah. Centuries earlier, Zechariah had written, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Jesus rides a donkey's colt to say to people, I'm the guy the prophets were talking about. And he does it because he knows that none of his followers can believe that he's going to die. So when he does, he wants them to remember, look back and say, no, Jesus was the one that the prophets talked about. He was the king that Scripture tells about. They were right to call him king. They were just wrong about the kind of king he was going to be. Or take the palms. They're actually not in Luke's gospel. They're there in the other stories about Jesus coming to Jerusalem. The palm branch was a national symbol of Israel. So when they wave the palm branches, it's like waving the maple leaf or stars and stripes or something. They're declaring him the king of Israel. And Jesus lets them do it. Or when the crowd is shouting out, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a paraphrase from the Psalms, a songbook of Israel. It's Psalm 118, verse 26, which was a song written to greet a victorious king arriving home from battle, the king to whom God had given the victory. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus' followers think that means one thing, but Jesus knows it means something else, but he still lets them shout it. And when the Pharisees called him out on it, the Pharisees were super religious guys who were intrigued by his teaching but didn't think that he was a king. Jesus says, you don't get me. You don't get me. If the crowds were quiet, the stones would cry out to mark the passage of God. Jesus lets his followers celebrate his arrival like a conquering king. He goes along with it. He even encourages it, even though he knows they're not ready for the kind of king he's going to be. The problem with Jesus' followers then and today is that our imaginations aren't big enough. And I want you to hear me on this. This applies to us. Our imaginations aren't big enough for Jesus, and maybe how could they be? But the disciples knew he was from God. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was a king. They just literally couldn't imagine the fullness of what that meant. So you've got this man who speaks with God's own voice, who commands nature, who sends illness running, who scatters demons with a word, who raises the dead. They'd seen that happen. And they look at this Jesus, and the best they can think of is regime change in Jerusalem. He raises the dead, and you want a different government? That's like getting Aladdin's lamp and asking the genie for 3 candy bars because you're hungry. It's like stepping up to a golf tee with a putter. They thought Jesus was there to solve the problem they could see. And it's not like I would have done any better. But they didn't ask him to solve their deepest problem, the one that they couldn't see. Because the deeper our problems are, the harder they are to see, to put our eyes on. The Roman Empire was a problem. It was a big problem. But it wasn't the problem. Illness was a problem. It was a big problem, but it wasn't the problem. Demonic oppression was a problem. It was a big problem, but it wasn't the problem. There's really just one problem, but he wears a billion terrible masks. The problem, Scripture says, was sin, death, and the devil. The problem was a creation alienated from its creator. Because there's not a single problem in this world that doesn't have at its root sin, which is the selfishness and hardness of heart that we have toward each other and to God, the fact that we die, and the enemy of God who wants us to hurt. And you've got to figure that if God shows up to save a sin-sick world, he's not there to, like, wash the windows. He's there to tackle the problem. So will we let him? Every person listening to this sermon, whether you're here in the room, watching online, now or later, every single one of you is fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single one of you is made in the image of God. Just a little lower than the angels, Scripture says. God looked at you and said, "You are very good, the crown of creation." And we're each, in a way, a little walking, talking Jerusalem, a city where God desires to live, that God has built to be at unity with itself, with a temple at our hearts where God is meant to be worshiped, with a throne at our center where God is meant to sit in loving rule. We're made good. But as we go through our lives, enemies find their way into the Jerusalem of our existence. Sometimes enemies come in through the things that we do, when we sin, when we do wrong to each other, when we scorn God. Then we open our gates to spiritual influences that come in and set up camp, and once we let them in, we don't have the power to kick them out. And sometimes enemies find their way in through stuff that's done to us, stuff that we suffer. When other people hurt and abuse us, sometimes profoundly, that can open a gap in our walls, and the devil will use that hurt to enter in and hurt us more. And that sounds really unfair, I know, that spiritual enemies could find their way into our lives through no fault or action of our own, and it sounds unfair because it is, because there's no fairness on a battlefield, and that's precisely what the spiritual life is. The spiritual life is not some genteel negotiation proceeding according to hammered out rules. We're each a city under siege. And there's a battle underway right now for the Jerusalem of your life. And one side hates you and wants you dead and will take any advantage that they can. And the other side loves you more than you could ask or imagine. So that's all who we are this morning, these living, breathing Jerusalems that were beautifully built by a loving Creator, but which have been despoiled and attacked by sin, both ours and what's been done to us. Now, some of you have come this morning, and you've got Jesus sitting on the throne at the center of your lives. You've established God in the worship of your living temple. The battle's been won. The enemy's been routed from the fortress of your heart, but the enemy will never give up trying to reclaim that lost territory. And he knows your city inside and out. He knows where your defenses are the weakest. So the work of a lifetime is the mopping up action, and it's not going to end until you die. The block-by-block urban warfare of the heart, expelling the enemy's fighters from every shadowy corner of your life. Our pride, our anger, our lust, our gluttony, our greed, sloth, envy, every place in our heart where God's light hasn't fully shined yet. But other people came this morning feeling like your life is a city under an occupying force. You're not chasing the enemy. You feel like he's in control. For some people here today, there's a tyrant calling the shots in your heart. You're under the authority of someone who doesn't love you. And because of that, you do things you don't want to do that you know aren't good for you. There's no peace in the Jerusalem of your life. Your walls have crumbled, your gates lie open, and the enemy comes and goes as he pleases. But today is the visitation of your God. Today, Jesus stands at the gates, and his greatest healing is for where you hurt the most. He's going to walk into suffering and work out salvation because that's what Jesus does. He's here. That's not in question. The only question is whether we'll recognize the kind of king that he is. So whether the enemy's occupying force is camped out in the fortress of your heart or you are somewhere in that lifelong work of hunting down the remaining fighters, today is the day that you put the enemy on notice. Today's the day you tell the enemy that he never stood a chance because the King of Glory is standing at the gates. And I want you to claim that for yourself today. I don't know the mask that sin, death, and the devil wear for you, and I don't know the voice that the enemy speaks to you, but you know. You know because you deal with it every day. You know the face of the one who has a foot on your neck. You know the sound of the poison that goes in your ear. So stand on the walls of your Jerusalem and look at the one approaching and shout, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." I want you to say that today to the enemies inside who want you dead. To say you could never be forgiven for what you did, that nobody could ever love you, that your abuser was right. To say, "Who do you think you are? You're nobody. You're not good enough. You're not fit for the job. That God's forgotten you, that your trauma is all you'll ever be, that pours resentment and unforgiveness down your throat and watches as you choke." The enemy who holds the chains of your addiction, say to that enemy, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." It doesn't make our lives immune to tragedy, to poverty, to illness. Christians walk through the same world that everyone else walks through. Suffering is what life is about. But from the bottom of our souls, we say, "You do not have the victory over me." Today is Palm Sunday. It's the doorway to Holy Week. So look your enemy dead in the eye and put a finger to lying lips and say, "Hush, because Jesus is here. He's here at the gates," and then you walk with him. I invite you to walk with him in the week ahead to see what he will do. Come back Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Come and see what the King does. Come and see how the King conquers. And come and see that Jesus saves. And if you hear footsteps and ragged panting, that's just the devil running. But he's not fast enough. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.